Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Well, we're celebrating this last week of the church year. We're about Advent's right around the corner, the beginning of the new year in the church, and the church celebrates, and so appropriately, beginning yesterday, with the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the universe. And what a spectacular, what a spectacular description of the reality of who the Lord actually is. And what the church needs now more than ever, I feel like, and maybe not more than ever, but certainly in this moment, what we need most of all is to see with clarity, confidence in the eyes of faith, confidence of hope, and the great passion and love for our King Jesus at this troubled time of tribulation in the world and struggles within the church. The church is the body of Christ. He's the Lord. The church's destiny is not in question. The Lord is the King. He's the unstoppable Lord of the universe, and his plan and his purpose will unfold. And the church gave us yesterday a second reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Book of Revelation, we've talked about it a variety of times in the program over the years, and Revelation means unveiling. And what fundamentally gets unveiled is not just the plan of God, because it certainly the book of Revelation touches on the end time judgment of God and God's plan, but what it is most of all is it's the unveiling of the man behind the plan. It's the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ in his power and his glory and his majesty. And I want to just reflect today on the reading that we received there from the book of Revelation and express really from a heart filled with gratitude to the Lord, to our King, and the victory that he's won for us, to honor him today and honor him through this whole week, being able to exalt him and receive the word that the scripture gives about who he is and to be able to celebrate that. I want to say a simple prayer as we begin today and ask the Holy Spirit, whose first mission is to reveal the Son, to reveal Jesus to every human heart. The Holy Spirit is the one who manifests and makes it possible for us to see the glory and majesty, as St. Paul would say, that shines on the face of Jesus Christ, to see the glory of God that is shining on that human face, on the God-man who brought about salvation, who conquered our enemies, who destroyed the principalities and powers and began in himself a whole new creation. And he sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. So here's the reading from a book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, who has made us into a kingdom, priests for his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he's coming on the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the peoples of the earth will lament him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, the one who is, who was, and is to come, the Almighty. There's a whole week's worth of programs just packed into these few sentences. So what's interesting, one of the interesting things about the book of Revelation, just in the first three chapters, there's, I think, over 30 different titles given to Jesus. And that in of itself is a helpful way to be able to come to understand the greater fullness of who the Lord is. It's a constant temptation in the world and even the temptation of the enemy working against the church to reduce the significance of Jesus. I remember Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI, said at one time that one of the great crises of the time was the emptying the figure of Jesus, the person of Jesus, of his significance. And when we do that, it flattens the church. It flattens the mission of the church, the conviction of the church. And this is when the church gets reduced to like a political community or a social grouping that exists in the world to do good, to be nice to people, to help change unjust structures in the world and things like that. That it's a horizontal vision almost exclusively when that happens, because Jesus himself is reduced to just a prophet or a, you know, just a moral teacher of various kinds, or he's a radical revolutionary. And it's all about the radical revolution in this world, in this time and space. And it's not a vision of Christ that is fully and comprehensively revealed in the scripture that people are referring to. So let's take a look at it. So Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Jesus came to bear witness to the Father. In the whole Gospel of John and other places, we hear and see again and again how Jesus makes it clear that he has come to reveal the Father, and he bears witness to the truth. He said, this is the reason, in fact, that's the gospel reading today, I think, is where he says, the reason he came into the world. Jesus said, for this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. He came in, first of all, to bear witness to the truth about God the Father. And he told us in John's gospel and other places, he said that only the one who's been with the Father, who knows the Father, can fully reveal the Father. And so he came to reveal that the Father is good, that the Father is love, that the Father is almighty and he's great, and all the dimensions of who God the Father is. And he witnesses to it, and the Father bears witness to Jesus. Jesus said, by working signs and wonders through him, confirming Jesus' testimony to the Father. And Jesus is a faithful witness. The word witness, also the term martyr, which means you're willing, basically Jesus showed us what a true witness of the gospel and a true witness to the Father, what it looks like to be that kind of witness, that Philippians chapter 2, the beautiful hymn to the Lord, to his victory, to his being a faithful witness. It said he emptied himself, becoming a servant, becoming the likeness of man. He took on human form, the second person of the Trinity, out of obedience to the Father. And it says, and he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, death on a cross. And then it goes on to say, and therefore God the Father has highly exalted him and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Father exalted Jesus because he was faithful to his mission, and he was faithful. He told the truth about God, the Father. He told the truth about man. He told the truth about the devil, about the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus spoke the truth. He was absolutely faithful to the commission that the Father sent him to become an offering and a sacrifice for sin and to fill the law full, to fill God's purpose and plan for the human race, which was broken in the fall when Adam failed to stand, when he gave into the temptation to the devil, and the whole human race, his whole progeny, had been affected by it. To this day, we're all affected by it. But Jesus was the one. He's the faithful Son. Where Adam failed, Jesus was the victor. Jesus was the victor in standing and bearing witness to the Father in truth all the way to the end, even to the point of death. And he demonstrates for us, he bears witness to us about the importance of obedience, that obedience is the love language of heaven, and that's how it's expressed. Love is expressed in being faithful witnesses to the truth of God's call on us, receiving who we are from God and walking in obedience and following the footsteps of Jesus to the point of giving up our lives. So Jesus revealed the reality that a faithful witness of God is someone who, with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, loves God, loves the neighbor as they love themselves, and are engaged in the mission and the extending of the kingship of Jesus in the world. So Jesus is the faithful witness, and he's the firstborn from the dead. That means what? That means that he's born anew. Jesus passed from death to life. He's the first that passed from death to life, and he is now a life-giving spirit. He has a capacity, as John mentioned so beautifully in his gospel, and we'll talk about later in the week, Jesus has the power to give life to anyone whom he desires to give it to. Anyone who receives and believes in him, he said, he will give them eternal life. Jesus has within him, because he's the first now, he's the firstborn of a new humanity. Within him, in his person, is the beginning of the new creation. It's the Father's plan. The Father's plan included Jesus, of course, dying on the cross and dealing with the sin problem through the shedding of his blood, becoming an offering and sacrifice to the Father in heaven on our behalf. He redeems us. He buys us back. He cleanses us. The blood of Jesus makes it possible for people to be cleansed from the stain of original sin, but also the power of sin and death over our lives. But that's step one. Step two is then he passes from death to life, and a whole new creation is born in him. And now a new humanity has begun, and he's the one who's passed from death to life, created a way for the human race to exist in its fullness beyond death itself. So he's the firstborn who's entered into that. And so we share now in what belongs to him. This is why he's our king. He's our Lord. He's the one who gives us life. And that's the reason he's the only savior of the world as well. No other guru, no other religious theology or philosophy or view of the world can produce a new creation. Christianity is a new life, and that new life is a new creation, and that new creation, it begins and flows from a person. That person is Jesus, and he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus mentioned so clearly in John's gospel, he said that the Father has given him judgment over all things. Because, it's interesting, he said, because the Father wants him to be honored the way God the Father is honored. That his Son, he wants his Son, and that's what Philippians 2 describes and other passages in the New Testament, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. And because Jesus was the faithful witness, because he sees things perfectly in truth, he's the one who is going to pass judgment on everything in human history. He's the one who's going to bring about the full victory of what he witnessed to in this world and what he lived and who he is. And the kingdom of God will be perfectly manifest in all those who oppose him, all those who die in sin, all those who refuse to acknowledge him and receive. He said, if you receive my witness, he said, if you believe in my words and you're baptized, you will share in the life that I have, this new creation. If you don't, you will be subject to eternal death and eternal separation from God. It goes on to say, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, Jesus talked about, he said, who has made us a kingdom and priests for his God and Father. So we're a kingdom of priests. It's really good to say when we celebrate the kingship of Jesus to lay hold of the fact that Jesus established a kingdom and a rule, the rule of God, which will never again be opposed and overthrown in any kind of way. The victory of the establishing of the kingdom has come. It's happened. And this kingdom is unique. The unique characteristic of it is those who inhabit the kingdom are priests. That is, those who make an offering of their lives in imitation of Jesus to offer our lives to God as our Father. And so to him now we give glory. And we recognize, we celebrate his power forever and ever, because he will rule in this kingdom forever. Behold, he's coming on the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And the peoples of the earth will lament him. That is, those who refused to acknowledge him, to follow him, insisting on their own way, when they see him, they will cry out. They'll beat their chests, because the judgment, the final judgment, from the one who has absolute authority has come, and his kingdom will last forever. He is indeed, as he said, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is, the one who was, and who is to come. He's the Almighty. Lord, we honor you today as the Almighty King of the kingdom of the Father. All glory and honor belong to you, and we are delighted and grateful to be your servants. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.